You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. There is a crisis in the New York City Police Department. Last month, there were 4 police officer suicides and a total of 6 this year. To put it into perspective, the NYPD has said it averaged about 4 or 5 suicides per year over the last 5 years. But the department knows that in order to help officers, it has to fight off a big stigma. Now the NYPD has created a new task force to address mental health in its ranks, and it's drafting new policies to help officers who may be facing challenges on the job. Joining me now here in the studio to talk about these measures and more is Police Commissioner James O'Neill. Commissioner, welcome back to WNYC, and thank you so much for coming in today.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
You announced the formation of the Health and Wellness Task Force earlier this week. What exactly will this task force be doing?
So, as you stated in your opening, June was a tragic month for the NYPD. I know each and every one of us, all 55,000, took it real hard. I was friends with Steve Silks, Chief Silks. I knew Joe. Didn't know Mike or Kevin, but it really set you back on your heels when something like this happens. Now, this is a tough job to begin with. Cops face difficult situations each and every day. They're exposed to a lot of trauma. But when this happens, we have to take steps here. We're going to start training for all the department executives. That's going to be up and running in August. We're going to bring them in for 3 hours, have mental health professionals come in, have counselors come in, just get the message out that this is something that we need to talk about. You know, people, they don't want to lose their shield, they don't want to lose their gun, and they certainly don't want to lose this job. And we have to make sure that they feel comfortable with either coming to us internally or externally. They can go outside the department for help. It is not an issue. We also have to make sure that people really understand what it means when you do come forward, what the process is. You know, you're not always going to lose your shield and your gun. There's plenty of other options here to help you get better. And we're also looking to put peer counselors in each precinct.
And I want to ask you about that. You know, we have this mythology of, 2 patrol buddies in the car, and that's going to be enough. But sometimes that's not enough. But have officers been raising their hands to be peer counselors? And what will it look like beyond the traditional turn to your partner and talk about your problems?
It's got to be more than that. You know, having a partner, it's a great part of being a police officer. But it's got to be somebody that has knowledge of what's out there, has an understanding and awareness of what people might be going through, whether it's clinical depression or whatever other the mental health challenges are, that they recognize that. And it's got to be somebody in that precinct, district, or whatever unit that they know if they come forward, they're going to get help. So we're in the middle of recruiting people now. We're identifying people to come in. And we spoke to Eddie Johnson from the Chicago Police Department, Mike Moore out in LAPD. As a matter of fact, we have a couple of people out in LA right now looking at how they deal with this issue.
So there are other departments that have faced these challenges and have had some measure of success?
Yeah. Chicago PD, they had 5 suicides. I think it was in a period of 2 months or so. And they did the peer counseling system. And we're also doing command level training where we're going to have clinicians, counselors, go into every precinct, talk to every roll call, and give the people that do this difficult job a better understanding of what help is available.
Is there a measure of confidentiality with the peer counselors or these other folks who will be at the precinct houses?
Yeah, there is. I mean, we have a system now. It's called PAPA. It's a police officer providing peer assistance, and there's confidentiality there. But there's no one says you have to do it internally either. If you want to go to a private practitioner, that's fine. You know, and then the rebuttal to that is, well, what if the person's a danger to themselves? Well, then the doctor that they're going to will deal with that. I mean, we want to keep people safe. We want to keep families safe. But to tell the truth, there are times in people's lives that other people have to come forward. Because sometimes when you're in crisis, I think you're incapable of getting help yourself.
There have been reports that officers do feel peer pressure to keep quiet about their mental health challenges. How can you address the culture of silence, the pressure to keep quiet?
I think we have to do that with showing real life cases of people that have come forward and have gotten better and have gotten the help that they need. And we're in the process of doing that too. And there are people willing to come forward to do that within the department. You know, sometimes in law enforcement and policing, it takes a while to change, but this is something that needs to change immediately. This is our duty. This is our responsibility.
So you want to affect a culture change?
Yep. I know we can. I know the love that the men and women of the police department feel for each other, and they don't want to see this happen again.
In an op-ed for the Daily News this week, Police Benevolent Association President Pat Lynch wrote that the NYPD does not have a consistent policy regarding mental health issues. He's calling for one in which an officer seeking mental health services would face no repercussions at all. How do you respond?
Yeah, and I actually talked to Pat about this. Pat is looking out for the well-being of his membership, as all the unions do, but there is an avenue for help, and that's the message he needs to send too. As we go through this program, as we continue to expand, we're in conversation with all the unions. We want them to be part of this because I know they feel responsible for their membership too. But there, I can't honestly say that if you come forward, if you're in crisis, you're suffering, that you're absolutely not going to have to relinquish your gun or your shield. I can't say that. I don't want to be a hypocrite, but chances are it's probably not going to happen. And you're going to be able to continue with your job depending on the level of crisis.
But you acknowledge that many officers are concerned about the gun, losing the badge, losing their job even. Yep. How can you address those fears if they prevent officers from seeking help?
This is a matter of communication. We have to state it clearly in this training that we're doing with all of our executives and state it clearly with the training that we're doing with all our police officers, sergeants, and lieutenants. If you're in crisis or if you see someone in crisis, come forward. There are avenues. There are avenues inside the police department. There are plenty of avenues outside the police department where you can get the help that you need. But it's the question of taking that first step.
NYPD Commissioner James P. O'Neill, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jamie.
And if you or someone you know may be considering suicide, contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.